Welcome to the second installment of Chronicling COVID-19, a series by The Growl and the Chagrin Falls High School Tiger Times. In this series, our goal is to document the COVID-19 pandemic through the stories of those affected. Today is Monday, March 30th, and I am your host, Maggie Mills. For the past few weeks, one phrase has appeared everywhere: flattening the curve. Flattening the curve is taking measures to keep the number of coronavirus cases at a manageable level, so there's no large spike in cases that could overwhelm the healthcare system. In order to flatten the curve, self-isolation measures have been taken across the country, with everyone who can staying home and avoiding contact with others. This has hit the economy hard, but one sector that has suffered more than others is the performance industry. Large concerts and festivals like South by Southwest in Texas have been canceled. Huge sporting events like March Madness have been canceled as well. And the Wall Street Journal predicts that Broadway will lose upwards of $100 million in lost ticket sales. Today, I'll be talking to two musicians, James Thompson and Janelle Brierley, about the impact COVID-19 has had on their lives as performers and teachers. The violin playing you heard a few seconds ago during the intro was a recording of James Thompson, a Cleveland violinist and graduate of the Cleveland Institute of Music, or CIM, where he studied under teachers such as William Prussell, former concertmaster of the Cleveland Orchestra. James made his solo debut with the Cleveland Orchestra in 2014 and has soloed with the Cleveland Pops Orchestra, CIM Orchestra, and Cleveland Philharmonic, among others. He has played in prestigious competitions like the Bartok World Competition and the Sendai International Violin Competition. He also specializes in chamber music, playing with groups such as the Perlman Music Program's Chamber Music Workshop, a group founded by legendary violinist Itzhak Perlman. James is also a teacher and one of three violinists accepted into the Bowers Program at the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center.
I thought it would be great to talk to you because now that performances are being shut down and schools are being shut down, I think you are caught in the crosshairs of both as a performer and a teacher. So before this virus started, what did your average week or your average month of work and performances look like?
Oh, man. This past year in particular has been so, so busy. And when you're a musician, busy is good because we go into the music field because we love what we do, not because the paychecks are awesome. So being busy is really important. But I would say, I spend several hours a day practicing myself so that I stay at the top of my game. And then every day looks different. There's, I'd say, at least one or two rehearsals for upcoming performances that I've got. I'm usually playing at least one to two concerts per week. And then, like I said, I've got a few hours of teaching, private stuff. Sometimes I'll do some master classes or some coaching. There's a summer program I teach at. So the last few months I've been flying around listening to auditions in different cities for that. That's kind of one of the fun things about being a musician is that every day brings something different. There definitely is no routine.
So as far as teaching goes, how has that changed?
Well, from a private student perspective, a lot of people are trying to do things like Skype lessons and video lessons and things like that in order to keep the programs up and running. That comes with a lot of challenges. The audio quality often isn't even good enough to understand what the other person is saying, let alone
right.
be able to, teach a music lesson over the internet. So a lot depends on the internet connection. That's been really frustrating. And it's definitely been a combination of trying to do things over video and people just sort of throwing up their hands and saying they'll, start things up again in a month.
Schools across the country have been faced with a similar challenge. Most colleges have sent students home to finish the semester online, and many middle and high schools have done the same. CFHS, for example, has moved to an online format, with teachers assigning work that students must complete at home, with office hours available at certain points during the week. Some schools, however, have just decided to shut down until further notice.
On the performance front, has that completely dropped off? Like, what has the change been?
It's absolutely done. I've actually had, I think I'm up to, I think 12 or 13 concerts that have been canceled so far through late-ish April. This is one of those times it's so tough for people who don't have, you know, a job with a steady salary and right. benefits and things like that, or a big sort of umbrella organization that can still write you a paycheck and sort of help you weather the storm. So, you know, I've lost, you know, thousands of dollars for in, you know, fees from concerts and things like that. And it's just tough, you know, in these sorts of situations, the arts and entertainment things, not unlike, you know, your professional sporting events too. These are the things that are first to go.
With people in their houses and any large event shut down, performances have become an impossibility. But thousands of businesses across the country are facing similar struggles as non-essential businesses are shuttered. This has really harmed small businesses in particular. A research firm called CoreSight Research ran an analysis and predicted that COVID-19 could result in as many as 15,000 retail store closures this year. Another study by the Economic Policy Institute found that the pandemic could result in the loss of as many as 3 million American jobs. In order to stem this tide, Congress approved and President Trump signed into law a $2 trillion stimulus package that includes sending checks directly to individuals and families, an expansion of unemployment benefits, money for hospitals, and assistance for companies and small businesses. This is the largest emergency aid package in U.S. history.
You mentioned earlier that it's important to be busy when you're a musician.
Absolutely.
So do you think that long-term losing these performances is going to have an impact on your career? Or if this goes for all musicians? Or is this sort of a situation in which everyone is in limbo and things will go back to normal?
Yeah, I think everything will go back to normal soon enough. I would say for someone like myself, who is 26 years old, I'm just sort of starting to make a name for myself in the musical world. Every month of performances is important. And I actually had a few concerts coming up that were like really big deal that have been canceled. And those things definitely do hurt. But, you know, it's definitely not the end of the world. There'll be more opportunities. And one of the great things about being a classical musician, particularly like the very highest level of musicians in the classical world, is that it's just the smallest, most tight-knit community. And, you know, people, we've been checking up on each other for the past month or so. I've been getting calls and texts from people all over the world because we're all kind of in the same boat and everyone gets that.
Have you noticed any adaptations yet in the performance industry? Obviously, this is sort of a new development and the shutdowns have only been happening for a week or so, but how did the arts survive in a world without audiences?
Well, the advent of all the technology is really helpful for us, and we can use video and things like that to keep reaching out to people. And actually, and I'm actually going to be taking part in some of this earlier next week, people are actually getting together and doing things that, you know, maybe they would have had a performance or something like that. And because, again, we don't really have much better to do right now. We're putting together things online for free to sort of send out to, you know, the general public and have, you know, people appreciate something for people to appreciate and maybe have some hope in a otherwise somewhat scary time. So not necessarily anything where we're going to be making any money, but at least it gives us something to do. And, you know, we went into this field because we really love what we're doing.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I appreciate it.
Janelle Brierley is another Cleveland violinist and amazing musician. She is the concertmaster of Michigan's Lexington Bach Festival and has performed as the concertmaster of the Cleveland Institute of Music Orchestra and the Youngstown Symphony, among others. Janelle served as a member of the Canton Symphony and the Perlman Music Program's Chamber Music Workshop and made her solo debut with the Phoenix Symphony in 2011. She is currently in her fourth season as a substitute violinist with the Cleveland Orchestra.
So how is what you do subbing different than working like as a traditional employee of the orchestra?
Sure. So I'm not a contracted member. I'm not salaried. I don't get benefits or any of that. So as a sub, they call me to come in whenever they need a spot filled in the back of the violin section. So, you know, if somebody is sick or injured, maternity leave, anything like that, then they call me to come and fill in the back.
So with all of these concerts getting canceled, how has that impacted your employment with the orchestra?
So I have no employment with the orchestra at the moment. I'm actually supposed to be in Europe with them right this very minute. We had a 3-week international tour, and we were supposed to leave on Monday. But of course, that was canceled. And when the tour was first canceled, they were planning on kind of rescheduling some of that time into free community concerts and things like that. But it just seemed to get worse and worse, and they canceled one concert after the next, and now there's no work.
Janelle is not alone. Employees paid on a contractual basis are struggling to make ends meet as employment opportunities dry up. Certain cities and states are trying to combat this by expanding existing unemployment benefits to those who have been laid off because of the virus. For example, the Washington, D.C. Council is considering a bill that would allow employees unable to work due to coronavirus-related issues to file for unemployment insurance. But most of these coverage programs do not apply to independent contractors or people who are self-employed, meaning that those who are not official employees of a business or company will slip through the cracks.
So has the orchestra done anything to try to keep some operations going, or are they mostly just waiting it out and hunkering down?
I know they're not doing anything with the full orchestra. I'm not sure if they're sending smaller groups out into the community or not, but, you know, we're really not supposed to have groups of people gathering right in one place. So as far as I know, they've just hunkered down. And I know they lost a lot of money on that, canceling that tour, so I'm sure they're all working to figure out how to move forward and when they should plan on restarting and all of that. So in terms of me, at least, there's definitely no work. And I'm fairly certain that's true for the whole orchestra.
Yeah, it's hard to fit an orchestra on stage when everyone has to sit 6 feet apart.
Exactly.
So long term, assuming that hopefully this virus tapers off sometime in the next few months, do you think there will be any lasting changes or harms to the performance industry because of lost revenue or lost concerts?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be. Yeah, it's hard to say because you just don't know how long it's going to go on like this, you know. But actually, another way I've seen it affected already is that I was supposed to be taking an audition in Pittsburgh April 19th, and they just emailed today to say that they've postponed that. So they're missing a member of their orchestra, and they were going to refill that position, but now they can't because nobody can travel to the audition. And I'm sure, you know, the revenue, just tickets, even just ticket sales, which isn't even a huge part of an orchestra's income, you know, is completely gone. And with the Cleveland Orchestra looking at going into the Blossom season for the summer, you know, I would assume they're worried about that. And, it's just hard to tell when it's going to come back. And, you know, of course, the actual members of the orchestra are all salaried, so they're still getting paid during all of this. But
right,
it's hard to tell. You know, it's such an interesting, unique thing that's happening, and nobody quite knows what's going to happen with it. So it's hard to say.
Technology has allowed performers to maintain some streams of revenue through things like teaching and online performances, but for most musicians, the only option is to hope that this will all be over soon. We hope you enjoyed the second installment of Chronicling COVID-19. If you did, subscribe to The Growl and follow the Chagrin Falls High School Tiger Times on Apple News. If there is a story that you want to share or a story that you think we should feature, please message us via the Tiger Times Twitter.